go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
Welcome back to Secure Freedom Radio. This is Jim Hansen sitting in for Frank. We have the pleasure this segment of talking with the Center for Security Policy's own Kyle Scheidler, who's director of our Threat Information Office. And Kyle, there are threats all over the place, and I would say one of the larger and growing threats is the influence of the Muslim Brotherhood and acceptance of them as both a political party all over and something other than a completely malign influence on humanity overall. Now, I guess one of the areas where they have had influence and lost it was in Egypt. They were swept into power in the Arab Spring. They won some elections, but then they got thrown out. There was a coup, the military took back over, and they got bounced. Give us, I guess, an idea as to what the Muslim Brotherhood's current status is in Egypt.
Well, so after the military coup, which was in response to popular uprising against the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt, something like 30 million people took to the streets in opposition to the Brotherhood, in large part because the Brotherhood's management of Egypt was largely incompetent. They couldn't solve economic problems. They were more concerned with establishing Sharia than they were with, you know, trying to figure out how the average Egyptian got bread and fuel. And so they were thrown out by the military. The organization has once again been suppressed, and they responded with violence. They try to claim, of course, that they're peaceful, but what they do is they were creating, rallies and then using these rallies as centers for people to go out and attack anti-Brotherhood figures. And when that rally was inevitably suppressed by the army and police, of course, the Brotherhood took a high number of casualties, and they continue to use that casualties and those martyrs to target the Egyptian government on the human rights basis. So that continues to be the fight in Egypt, where the Egyptian military has not backed off of their desire to see the Brotherhood suppressed. It's an open fight in Egypt, where they are routinely arresting Muslim Brotherhood individuals or targeting cells where people are, in fact, building bombs. They're building Molotov cocktail factories, that kind of thing, as the Brotherhood sort of wages this low-grade insurgency against the Egyptian state.
So, but now we've got another area where the Brotherhood was in power and has now left power. And there seems to be an attempt by folks like Fareed Zakaria to portray this as some victory for democracy and that the Muslim Brothers were acting decently in leaving. And this is in Tunisia. There was a Brotherhood party in power. There was an election and they left. So that should be a great win for democracy, and we should all be happy about that, right?
Well, here's the interesting point, right? So in Tunisia, you have the Ennahda Party, which took power after the Arab Spring uprisings in Tunisia. Very soon after that, they began to establish relationships with some pretty nasty characters, including al-Qaeda's Ansar al-Sharia, and their political opponents began to get bumped off by either street gangs affiliated with the Ennahda Party or by actual terrorist attacks by Ansar al-Sharia. This targeting of their political opponents, primarily secularists and leftists, outraged large sections of the Tunisian population. There are street protests. So the leaders of the Ennahda Party, recognizing that the jig is somewhat up, negotiate they're stepping aside in favor of a technocratic government so that they are still able to function politically in Tunisia, but they are no longer in control of the mechanisms of power. And in exchange for this, they are now essentially being feted across much of the Washington establishment. You mentioned Fareed Zakaria's piece where he talks about the head of the Ennahda Party, Rashid Ghannouchi, traveling to Washington, D.C., and sort of taking credit for his decision to step aside after the Tunisian people had had enough of their nonsense. But this is really where we've come to. Now, Ghannouchi is a man who in 1994, the U.S. denied a visa to on the grounds that he had supported Hamas and Palestinian Islamic Jihad and other MB-linked terrorist organizations. And now he's an individual that routinely speaks in front of taxpayer-funded organizations like the U.S. Institute for Peace.
Well, but come on. Everything's changed now. You know, all our enemies are now our friends. All our friends are now our enemies. And I think, you know, all that has been turned on its head, and much for the good, as you can see by the peace breaking out all over the world. It's actually a complete disgrace that people like that are now accepted in what passes for polite company in this town. Folks, we're talking with Kyle Scheidler, director of the Threat Information Office for the Center for Security Policy. Kyle, I want to shift gears to another election in another Islamifying country, our NATO ally, Turkey. Now, they've been going down the wrong path for quite a while. Their Prime Minister Erdogan leads a party that is quite Islamist in their leaning, and they recently held another set of elections after elections a few months back didn't give them, I guess, the result they wanted. They decided to hold another set and do what I imagine was a much better job of locking up the press and influencing opponents and probably doing a pretty Chicago-style job of counting votes. Tell us a little bit about what's going on with at least the AKP party, Erdogan's party, and Turkey as a whole as they become less of an ally and more of potentially a problem.
Well, I actually think it fits in pretty well to the narrative we're discussing, which is the role of the brotherhood-linked parties throughout the Middle East. The AKP has to be considered, for all pretense and purposes, a brotherhood-linked party. Of course, they're Turkish. They're not necessarily brotherhood card-carrying members, but the alliance with the brotherhood is very, very close. And the AKP suffered a pretty serious loss in the elections back in, I believe it was June, where they lost their majority for the first time. They had held a majority, a single majority in the parliament without a coalition since 2002. So they were pretty much doing as they pleased up until this point. Now, that was a response to the AKP's party, the AKP's desire to essentially change the constitution in order to give more authoritarian power to the office of the president, which is held by Erdogan. So there was a reaction to this, part of which included an alliance between the Kurdish party, the HDP, and some Turkish secularists and Turkish leftists. And so we saw the HDP, Kurdish party, pick up 13%, and the AKP party suffered and lost their majority. What happened was none of the minority parties could agree, and nobody would form a coalition with the AKP. So you had a need for a new election, essentially. What Erdogan did during the period in between the two elections was target the Kurds very aggressively on counterterrorism operations, you know, claiming to be targeting the PKK, but also targeting legitimate Kurdish politicians, arresting mayors and deputy mayors in the Kurdish regions, and really targeting the campaign base of the HDP. So it's no surprise then that the HDP lost some 3% in the election. Now, we have to remember that part of the AKP's victory came from this desire for people in Turkey seeking stability. They're seeing violence, bombings in the streets, targeting. But what's interesting is these are mostly Islamic State bombings targeting Kurds and other AKP opposition. So what we have is essentially the AKP riding to victory on a tide of people seeking stability from the chaos that the AKP initiated.
Kyle Scheidler, thank you for that illuminating information about Muslim Brotherhood activity in the region. That's going to wrap up Secure Freedom Radio for the day. This is Jim Hansen. I've been sitting in for Mr. Frank Gaffney, who will be back tomorrow to bring you more news in the fight for the free world.
From the nation's capital, you've been listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.